Okay, Rosie, I go to Vach. We're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, a couple of lines down from the top in Masai. So we're talking about the Isser of putting things out of order when it comes to Truma and Bikurim. If someone does Truma before Bikurim, so he's over Loisa say of Nayatz of the Mach Loisa Acher. So the question is, the Gemara is going to start off. When are you over this Avera? In Masai, however, exactly when? Rav Chiya bar Ba Amar mitchila. As soon as you do it out of order, so as soon as you do the Truma before the Bikurim, you're already over the Lysa. Say, Rav Shul bar Yitzchak Amar Basof. No, you're not over until you do something out of order. In other words, out of order means that you did the second one out of order. So you did the Bikurim out of order. So although you did the Truma out of order because you did it before the Bikurim, but I guess it's not Nikkur until after you do the Bikurim that it was actually out of order. So it's an interesting machlokes. Ma'am nafik bin Ehon, what's the nafkamina between these two shutas? L'sirof ha'kri nafik bin Ehon. This has to do with if it got burnt. Let's suppose after I took the Truma, then there was a fire and it burnt the rest of the kri. So according to Rav Chiya bar Va, that you're over mitchila, so obviously that you're over already. You're not over anything because you never end up doing the second one, so you're not over the leisase. Now, if it's an interesting thing, just according to the second shita, if you were faced with this. It's a little bit of a quandary, right? Let's suppose you did the Truma first. And now you're faced, let's go only that Shita of Rav Chiya bar Va. So now you have a choice. You can go be Mafresh Bikurim. But as soon as you do that, you're going to be over a Lysase. Or you cannot do the Bikurim. So what am I supposed to do? I don't want to be over Lysase. So that's an interesting thing. I think he talks about it.
Truma as Bikurim?
What was that?
Could you use part of the Truma?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Bikurim is also called the Truma of sorts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. The Torah refers to it. But once you carry Hashem Truma, the Truma is... It's a whole different din. It's mum and kayin. It's only mutter dil kayin, not to the zar. Bikurim is totally different, right? Bikurim, you have to bring it to Beis HaMikdash. It's a whole different, it's a whole different thing. So in the variants, I think he talks about it here. He says, according to the question would be whether you're obligated to burn it. In other words, the other approach to this is maybe I would be obligated to burn the rest of the kri in order to avoid being over the avera. Right? I have my kri now, and I have a chiv to be mafresh bikurim. But if I'm mafresh to bikurim, I'm going to be over the leisase. So you don't want to be over a leisase. That's really bad. So it's better to take a fire, burn the kri, according to Rav Chiya bar Va, and not be over. That's what he suggests over here on the bottom of B. He should therefore burn the pile, according to Rav Chiya bar Va. However, there's nothing to be gained from burning the pile, since he should... I was going according to Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. I was using the wrong name, sorry. According to Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, you would have to burn it. According to Rav Chiya bar Va, there's no point in burning him because you're already over, obviously. But then he brings down, however, it is
better to be over on
Baal Tashchis. Yeah, Baal Tashchis. And I want you to know, I was thinking about that, whether Baal Tashchis would be a problem. And I think that if you're burning something in order not to be over a Lysase, there may not even be a problem with Baal Tashchis. Baal Tashchis is when you're burning something with no reason behind it. But here you have a reason. In fact, you might be Mechuyev too, because a person has to give up all your mum in order not to be over a leisase. So this is a small price to pay, a little pile of kri, a little kri, right? All right. He brings down over here, it is clear from the majority of commentators that they consider the mitzvah to separate Bikurim to be in force, even though doing so will cause him to retroactively transgress the prohibition. So that's an interesting idea. In other words, how seriously do we take the Chiyuv B'Korban? Okay, let's go on. Next question. Rav Shmuel bar Abba boi ma'aser rishon shekdimu b'shibolim over or in over el aseder. This is a new question. It's a fairly simple question. You all know that the time for the actual, you know, ideal hafrasha when the chiyuvim begin is at the time we've always said when you smooth off the pile. Let's suppose you go very very early in the process, much earlier than that. So you could be mafresh if you wanted to. It would be chal. There's no chiyuv. In other words, at that point, for instance, you can eat achilas arai at that point, right, without being mafresh anything. It's prior to the zman hachiyuv. But if you were mafresh, it's chal. Now, in a case where you're at that early stage and you are mafresh out of order, like let's say I took off the maestras before, and it was prior to the truma, so it's out of order. Am I over last on the machaloi sachar or not? Do you say that since it's out of order, I'm over? Or do you say since there's no chi of truma yet, right now in its current state, there's no chi of truma, it hasn't reached the Gemara Malacha. So therefore, I wouldn't be over. So the Gemara doesn't answer the question. It's a bidle of shita. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Adraisa, it says over here that the Mishnah said Bikurim should precede Truma. Gemara is now going to quote another Tana that doesn't seem to say that. Tanya, Kami Rabavuhu, there's a Braisa that says the following, and he changes the gears a bit. He says, HaBikurim Enuma Akvinasa Truma. This Braisa says Beferish against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Bikurim should be done first. This Braisa seems to say that Bikurim doesn't stop Truma. It doesn't have to know you if you take truma. You could go. The Kohen could go ahead. In other words, he's masba this at length over here on the bottom. The rule is it's Gemara in 13. He brings the Gemara in Peya. It says called kaidim es chaveiro chaveiro miskayvo. So if I do something where something already had a previously established chiyuv on some food, and I was mafresh the other food. So it says, it's ma'akev, I have to go ahead and follow up and be mafresh, the bikurim, before the kohen would be able to eat the truma. So that would be the standard approach without this braisa. I would have said that you mafresh truma and you didn't do the bikurim. So the bikurim is ma'akev, means the kohen has to wait until the bikurim have taken and then you can eat the truma. But this braisa says no. Habikurim ain't no ma'akvin as a truma, that he can go ahead and eat the truma even though you haven't been ma'afresh the bikurim. So you see, it's totally not ma'akiv. So if it means that it doesn't have to precede it. So that seems to contradict our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar loin da'aba bin yamini. That braisa is the opinion of Abba Pnimun. We're going to quote a braisa that's going to say, like Abba Pnimun, and even though the braisa never mentions his name, the Gemara, the footnotes explain that he had a Kabbalah. That this in number six, in number 18, you'll see, it says although the Brisa doesn't mention his name, Rabbi Yonah had a tradition that he was its author. So that we have to just accept this, that Rabbi Abba Ben Yamin was the author of the Brisa we're going to quote here soon. Rabbi Yosef boy, hide the Abba Ben Yamin. Where is it? Rabbanos said, Shmo is Abba Toni. I heard my father teach the following. Bikurim bimino usruma besmolo. If you had truma in your right hand, you had bikurim in your left hand, and you're going to be kare shame simultaneously, the two together. You're not going to be makdim truma to bikurim. You're not going to be makdim bikurim to truma. You're going to do it both together at the same time. So,
how do you do that?
How do you do that? You mean
how can you say
it two at the same time?
Yeah.
Shamar, right? how do you do that? Let's see. I don't know. I didn't think about that. Let's see if it says any more Farsham explain this. I guess, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb on this one, and I'm going to tell you that the Maisa HaFrasha he's doing together, and the Kriyas Shem HaFrasha he's doing the Machshava. All right? That's gonna be my answer.
That'll work.
That should work. Okay? I don't know for sure, but that seems to be the only way out of your question. It's a very good question. So the one says, is Tani Iver? So one Brysa says, you're Iver on Le'as of the Machal Le'Sacher. Is Tani Iver? And one says, you're not Iver. Mandam Iver, the one that says, you are Iver on Le'as of Rabbanit. That's the rabbis. Mandam Iver, Abba Pneumon. This is where I have the Abba Pneumon. In other words, Abba Pneumon is saying that there's no absolute requirement for you to what? To do Bikurim before Truma. That's what he meant. Truma, right? It says Bikurim, Eino Ma'akven Asa Truma. So what he meant was that it's not Ma'akiv to do it first. Let's take a look at 18 for a second, okay? One second, the second line in 18. The Brysa does not require Bikurim to precede Truma. We see from this, Abba Pneumon does not consider Truma portion to be subject to Bikurim. Because if they're done simultaneously, no Bikurim has been designated for the fruits that have become Truma. Right? That's basically what it says here. What else do you want to say? So Marafulda is saying another pshat. What? He doesn't actually permit separating Truma ahead of Bikurim. He only permits separating them simultaneously. Even then, since the Torah refers to it as Bikurim, he requires showing a measure of priority by holding it in his right hand and the Truma in his left. Okay, here he's saying a whole pshat all over here. So in other words, the Torah says you have to do it Bikurim, you have to do it first. And what he's doing is he's saying that by holding it in your right hand, you're showing it has a priority. That's a chop. Okay. Very good. Anyway, so let's move on. So we have a Bryce of Abba Binyamin, who seems to say that Bikurim does not have to be before Truma. They could even be simultaneously. Okay, Laman Alfam base. Halacha Dalit.
So the Hebrew footnote has an interesting that Lamai said he's not over al dotacher because he's not doing the mukda for the mukda. He's just over on the asay of doing bikurim first.
You mean that even according to the Tanakama?
That's what it seems like.
Uh huh.
Because when he does both of them at once, he's not doing the seder. But he's not also doing the second first. He's just not doing the Seder.
Right.
But he's doing one.
So you're over the essay. Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, is that interesting?
Yeah.
What's the essay? I forgot.
It's a lava bomb class. Well, no. Mleaskov de Machalosa Acher.
He says that the essay is Lahapris Lafia Seder.
There's such an essay.
What?
Well, let me see if the Rambam says that in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos. Hold on a second.
So, what's the pasuk for the essay?
The Rambam doesn't have an essay in his Koseras. In the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, he says Aleph L'Hafresh Truma Gedola, Beis L'Hafresh Trumos Meiser, Gimel Shalo Yakdim Trumos Meiser Zelazel Yafresh Shal Aseder. It doesn't have an assay to do it al aseda. I don't know whether there's such an assay. Okay, whatever. We'll have to be mind into that, whether there is such an assay. Next Mishnah, Halacha Dalet. Hamaskav or Laman Aleph on the base. Hamaskav and Lamar Truma of Omer Meiser. The person wants to say Truma instead. What came out of his mouth was Meiser. Ma'aseh Rama Truma, Oila Rama Shlomim, Shlomim Rama Oila, Shainer Nichlas Ma'aseh Rama Lazeh. He said he was making a netter, he didn't want to go to this house, he ended up saying the wrong house. Any netter Lazeh, Rama Lazeh, he's saying I wasn't going to do, let's say, business with Reuven, and what came out of his mouth was Shimon. That's Rash Sirlo brings that language. Look at his Shaini Nel Azev Ram Lazer. Koinam Yehi Ma Shaini Nel Reuven Zeh. Klomash Lo Esev Etin Imo. V'nisko B'divor Ram LeShimon. So he wanted to say that he's not going to do business with Reuven, and Shimon came out of his mouth. Anyway, in all those cases, Le'amar Klom, this is nothing. Actually, Piv V'libo Shavim. By as we know, by all the Dorim, you have to. What comes out of your mouth has to be what you were thinking. It's a simple Mishnah, right? I guess the only thing for us to take out of this Mishnah is that Tzad HaShoveh across all these things is that the Kedusha of Kedusha's carbon and the Kedusha of Truma and Meiser all comes from the Koyach HaNeder. It's there's a Neder component that makes Kedusha on all these items. Okay. Tamon Tininon. Says there's a Mishnah over there. This Mishnah 5, it says it's a Nazir. Okay? So it's Kedai for us to say over what the Mishnah is talking about. That the person says the following. The person says, the black ox, which comes out of my house first, should be Kodesh. Okay? And then,
what kind of ox?
The black ox.
Oh.
I'm just stating a color. I say the black ox that comes out of my house first should be Kadosh. And then, guess what came out of my house first? Not a black ox, but a white ox comes out of my house first. So Beis Shammai says that it doesn't matter. Even though I was thinking black ox, but it takes effect, the Kedusha takes effect anyway. The white ox becomes Kadosh. So he explains, he brings down from the Gemara that Beis Shammai learns it from Tamura, just like by Tamura, right? What do I want to become Kodesh? I want the second one to be Kodesh. The first one, it was a mistake, the first one, I want to make the second one Kodesh. And they're both Kodesh. So just like over there, even though you made a mistake, they're both Kodesh. So here too, we learn that it has to do with Sof Kedusha, from Tchilas Kedusha, from Sof Kedusha, whatever. Without getting into the whole lumdus, but the point is, Beis Shammai has a limud from we'll just say it at a high level, from Tmura, that he learns that this type of a tos is not going to make a chilek. And Beis Shammai disagrees. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask the following. Tamantinino, it says over there in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Yomim, Hektosh tos, Hektosh tos, Hektosh, that even if you make a mistake, it's hektish. So Gemara says, "Ramar b'yirmiyo, b'olam rechulin v'ramar oyla." So now, how far does Beis Shammai take this? What if I wanted to say it should be chulin, and I ended up saying it should be an oyla? So I didn't have in mind. Notice this toast is even more than that toast. And that toast, I wanted it to be kodesh. But I picked a characteristic which happened to not be the way it turned out. It ended up being a white one instead of a black one. But I wanted it to be Kodesh. Here, I didn't even want it to be Kodesh. I wanted it to be Chulin, right? So it doesn't matter. Reish Shammai is going to hold, even in that case, Kotra, that's Reb Yirmiyah's Shita. Reb Yirmiyah holds, even though it's a very big toes, major toes, it's still going to be Chal. It's still going to be Chal. Amr Biyasi says no, he doesn't agree with that. Meskava lahakdash anan kamina. In our Mishnah, in other words, in the Mishnah in Nazir, there at least you had a mind to make something kodesh. El shatom achmas dav racher. It was another consequence. The fact that it was white instead of black is what changed. But in a case where he wanted to say chulin and end up saying kodesh, there Beis Shammai is masking. So we have a machloikas, how far Beis Shammai takes it. Ha'adomas nisan mahi. What about our Mishnah? What about our Mishnah? So what was his intention? He wanted to say Ola, And instead he said shlomim. So our Mishnah says that that is a toz, and it's not chal. The Gemara is asking, what's going to be, according to Beis Shammai, is he going to be masking to our Mishnah? The Gemara says it's going to be tolling the machlokes. I'll die to the Rabbi Yirmiyah, the machlokes, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who holds that if you, even in a case of chulin, and Ayla, that it's kaidesh, so it's gonna argue in our Mishnah. Okay? But I'll die to the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Reish Shammai will be masking in a case of chulin. So, in other words, the issue is, what it looks like here is, how do I view the error of Ayla? In other words, Ayla and Shlomim, this is what you have to figure out here in this Gemara. Is black ox, white ox, equivalent to Ola Shlomim in terms of the mistake? Or is Ola Shlomim more like Chulin Kodesh? Which case do you compare that case to? The Ayla Shlomim, I'm asking you guys. Ola Shlomim, is that more like...
They're both Kodesh.
So, is that more like...
You like the black and the white ox.
You think it's like black and white ox, right? But if black and white ox...
No,
but the Gemara
could
clearly...
Could be like Chulin.
Why is it like Chulin? Oil and Shlomim, he wants either Lashon, it's going to make it a Kodesh.
Right, exactly. But by Kodesh and Cholin,
black and white.
Yeah.
So you think it's like black and white also? So
no, you want to be Kodesh or want to be Cholin, not both of them.
Hold on a second. Where the issue is Ola and Shlomim, that mistake of our Mishnah, is that like the black-white, or is that like the Kodesh Chulin? Which case is it like?
Oh, it's like the black-white.
If it's like the black-white, we know there's a Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in that case. So the Gemara is trying to say that there's a Nafkamina in Beis Shammai Shita, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi. Now, if it's like black and white, then the Gemara wouldn't be saying anything. What's it got to do with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yirmiyah? Black white, we know there's a machlokas. That's beferish in the Mishnah. There's no argument about black and white. The Gemara is taking our Mishnah and saying that it's going to be totally in the machlokas Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi, right? Which means that our Gemara is comparing the case of Ola Shlomim to the case of Chulin Kodesh that they argue about. Right? That's what the Gemara is doing. I'll die to Rabbi Yirmiyah b'machlokes, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who holds that even if you say or make a mistake of Chulin and you said Ola, it's still Kodesh, so that's going to argue on our Mishnah. Because Aramish just says if you said Ayla when you wanted to say Shlomim, then it's not Kodesh. But according to Beis Shammai, if you hold Ayla Barma Chulin, you wanted to say Chulin, and you said Ayla, then it's Kodesh. Then over here, it's also going to be Kodesh. That's what the Gemara says. So it's interesting that although your initial reaction was, I had the same reaction. At first, I thought to myself, this is more like black-white. So why is this totally in this Machlokas? But then, it's clear the Gemara is not comparing it to black-white, right? Let's take a look to see how he explains it in the bottom. Ten. According to Rabbi Yossi, right? Beis Shammai consider an erroneous consecration effective only where he meant to consecrate one of his animals, but the wrong one came out first. In this case, his words do not completely contradict his intention. His intention was to consecrate the first animal to come out. And his words expressed that as well. The only error was thinking it was going to be a black ox, and it turned out to be a white ox. According to Beit Shammai, the consecration of the first one to emerge takes effect despite that error. But in our Mishnah, where he meant to say Ola, but said Shlomim, his words completely contradict his intention. That's why the Gemara compares it. His words completely contradicted his kavana. His kavana was to make an oila, and he made shlomim. That's totally not what I wanted. In the case of black-white, it's 90%. I wanted the first one that came out, and it was the first one that came out. I wanted it to be kaddish, and it was kaddish. It's 90% good. It's just that I got one fact wrong, white-black. But in the case of ola shlomim, it's complete contradiction to what I wanted. Therefore, the Gemara compares that to the Hulin Kodesh example. And so it's totally in the machlokes of the Zamorim. Okay? Next. Tani. Now we're talking about the Pasuk by Kavanah L'Yared by Shuas Shav, right? By Shuas Sheker. Right? By Shuas Sheker. Tani, B'sosayim V'lo B'leif. It says, does he quote the pasuk here?
No.
Yeah, on the right side. The Torah R, he says, Oy nefesh, ki sishava levate besosayim, lahara lahetu v'chal ha-shvati ha-adam v'shuas, v'shuas v'nal minu v'yonu v'ashay machas me'ela, right? Pasuk says, levate besosayim. So the Gemara says, besosayim sounds like you have to say it with your lips. V'lo b'leiv. But not if you're just expressing it in your heart, in your mind. Yochshani might say, Hagoyme b'leiv. I might think if someone resolves in his heart to make an oath, that's also excluded. Tamalemer levate, which is by expressing. So he says in the bottom, the Gemara, that the Torah could have written, Bisfasayim levate. That would mean an oath can be effective only through verbal. But it wrote, levate bisfasayim. So the emphasis is on the expression. So there are two ways in which a person can affect a vow, mental expression and verbal declaration. So the beginning of the Brisa, which says that a mental oath is not an oath. So what's that case? So you got to explain that, because now we're saying that even believe it is good. So what are these two examples? So that's a case where you want to have, you made a mental decision to verbally declare something. In other words, you made up in your mind, I'm going to say a shvua. But if you never had a mind to say the shvua, I just in my mind said the shvua, thinking it, right?
That would be totally the machlokes dvarim shebalev einam dvarim or considered dvarim.
No, we're not getting involved in that right now.
You're speaking it out.
No. He said, we're saying now, again, we're saying now that even if you don't speak it out, that's the end of the end of the Brisa. The end of the Brisa says, Yochol Shani Moitzes HaGomer B'Leiv, so Tamalem Levate, that if you're Gomer B'Leiv, even though you didn't say anything, it's Chal, right? Correct, Rabbi? That's what you would think, but this is a Gzeres HaKosov, so I'm going to rely that this is a Gzeres HaKosov. Okay, Shmuel Amar HaGoyim Abelibo Enochai Vachiyotzi Misfasov. That even if you resolve, it doesn't make a difference. You still have to speak it out. Okay, he disagrees with the Bryce's ruling. Now this is when I saw this, I was wondering, what do you mean Shmuel? Shmuel disagrees with the Bryce? It's not making any sense.
He learns the Brisa differently.
Shmuel is an Amora. How can he argue with a Brisa? So he points it out in the brackets over here. He says in the brackets in the end of 16, he says, although an Amora cannot dispute a Brisa, we find that Rav, who is Shmuel's colleague, we said Rav Tanahu Polig. So this is a big fiddish to say that just like we say Rav Tanahu Polig, that since Shmuel is his colleague, that you say the same thing about Shmuel, which I never heard such a thing. And he brings.
I think the Gemara ever says Shmuel, colleague.
Yeah, the Gemara never says that. Right. So he says that Yad Malachi, I don't know if you heard recently, I mean, I don't know whether it was recent, but if you want to hear about the Yad Malachi, Rabbi Dovid Katz, in his podcast on Jewish history, has a whole segment on the Yad Malachi. It's very fascinating to listen to if you're interested in hearing more about the Yad Malachi. Anyway, the Yad Malachi says, cannot be. No can do. He brings it over here. Yad Malachi in Kloli HaShas 552 argues strongly that the same is not true for Shmuel. It's true about Rav. It is not true for Shmuel. However, he quotes the Rashba in Shabbos 37b that Shmuel also has this status. Very interesting. So our Yerushalmi, you know, we can use the Yerushalmi as a basis for being Machriya in these discussions. Here you see very clearly that Shmuel is taking on a Braisa. The Braisa said, Hagomer Belibo is Chayiv in Karban Shmuel. And Shmuel says, no can do. It's Eino Chayiv Achi Yotzi B'Sfasa. What? Okay. V'hatani Kol Nediv Leiv. Frank the Gemara, by what? When it comes to donations for building the Mishkan, it says, if you're generous of heart, Zeh Hagomer Belibo. So the Gemara says, "Zal gomer v'leiv." I told him, "Zal gomer v'leiv." Well, you know, Elah ha'moitzim is far. So maybe you have to actually say it. So now we're going to Lamed Beis and Aleph. Kishu oimer meisei sosecha tishmar harimoitzim is far of omer. It says that already in another pasuk. So money mekayim kol nediv leiv. It must be zal gomer v'leiv. So you see that even if you resolve in your heart, so the kashon Shmuel. You Shmuel are saying it's only achi yotzim is far of. Here it says beferish. That the pasuk says, "Kol nediv leiv." What are you going to do with that? So Gemara says, "Ma damar Shmuel lo karban." When Shmuel said his rule that you have to be moitzi b'sfasov, he was referring specifically to what you have to do to be chayiv a karban shvua. That's what the Marafolda says at the top line. If you take a look, lo karban le'inyan karban shvua. So Shmuel's Maida to the concept of Kol Nediv Leiv by the Mishkan, but when he argued on the Braisa, he was specifically talking about Karban Shmuel. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, now we're going to go weiter in Halacha Hey. Very interesting halachas over here. This has to do with a guy. Now, we started the Masechta, I believe. I thought we mentioned it. On Aleph Amud Aleph. Yeah. It said, Nochri Shataram es Shel Yisrael Afilu Bershos Ein Trumas and Truma. That's the first couple lines that we read in the Masechta. It says very clearly, black on white, Nochri cannot take Truma for Yisrael. Now, So now we're going to talk about what if he has his own stuff that he grows in his own backyard. That's one possibility. The other possibility is he buys it from the Yisrael after the Yisrael did the Miruach and there was a fee of Truma on the Tvua and then the guy bought it before the Yisrael was Mafresh anything. So he bought Tevel from the Yisrael. Those are two cases which you can clearly make in your mind. How a Nochri could have a chiyuv, so to speak, to take, although he's not chayiv in any, he's mitzvahs, obviously. But let's read the halacha now.
If he takes, it'll work.
Yeah, will it work? Yeah. Hanochri v'akusi, trumas and truma. It says v'feirish, then it is a good truma. Umas asay and meiser. They can take meiser also. Hekdesh and hekdesh. They can make things kodesh also. Rabbi Yudaimer, ein l'nochri kerem revayi. When it comes to the guy's produce, there's no such thing as kerevayit. In other words, what? That if it's the fourth year, right? Arla is going to be chal on the peiros regardless of who owns that. It has nothing to do with ownership. The first 3 years also ma'anah. But what about the fourth year where you redeem it and you bring it to Yerushalayim? So the Nachmi doesn't have that either. The Chacham Maimon Yeshal, he does have that. Okay? Now, there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether when you say kerem avoy, is it kerem avoy or neter avoy? The Gemara says that there's a machlokas everywhere. It says kerem avoy, we paskin neter avoy. It's lav davka by kerem. It's by all fruit trees, right?
That's the machlokas yesh kinyan or ein kinyan, right?
So we're going to get into that.
Right, if you hold ein kinyan, he certainly doesn't.
I guess we could do this paragraph. There's a lot being brought down on the bottom here. We have to limit ourselves. But if you take a look on page 32A2, left column, third paragraph. So the Gemara 32B explains our Mishnah as dealing with both produce of a Jew sold to a non-Jew, the produce grown by a non-Jew, both cases. We know non-liable produce cannot yield truma. While this poses no problem concerning a non-Jew's designation of truma from produce bought from a Jew, for such produce remains liable for truma, the same cannot be said concerning designation of truma from produce grown by a non-Jew. Is produce of a non-Jew, in fact, liable to truma? Evidently, our Mishnah maintains that indeed it is subject to truma, and Yidden cannot eat from it without being mafresh to trumas. This assumption is predicated on two basic principles. Here are the principles. First of all, a non-Jew's acquisition of land in Eretz Yisrael does not affect the land's kedusha. That means ein kinyan lakum afkim kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's number one. Number two, second, the grain does not become exempt if a non-Jew performs the process of smoothing down the grain. Okay, I told you that the Yid did the smoothing. No. He's talking about here where the guy bought it from the Jew and then he did the miruach. Okay? That even in that case, it wouldn't make a difference. It's still chayiv and trumas because the tefuah that grew with Rishus Yisrael is subject to truma. Okay? So those are the two things. So these are the two principles. So you're absolutely right. This is assuming ein kinyan la'akum. Right. Then it says trumas hanorchim midamas l'chayom l'chomish. So Tanakhama holds that it has all the halachas of truma. If it gets mixed into chulin, it makes it osur. Meaning, when we say it makes it osur, we've said this many times. I'm just going to repeat it again. It means it ashes it one part in 100. Meaning, you cannot falaz upon the din d'oraisa to be vatal at beroiv. It needs 1 in 100. That's what it means. Whenever the Mishnah says midamas, v'chayol l'chaymash, if you did b'shoygeg, that you chayav b'chaymash. So it has halacha just like truma d'oraisa. For Rav Shimon Paiter, he punches it. Now, what he's referring to is the chaymash. That's what it seems like. It's not clear. When in the English at the top, it says that he punches from eating truma b'shoygeg from a chaymash. In the English, it doesn't say that he doesn't hold its madamas. Okay, we're going to wait and see a little bit. Yeah. So, Dr. Gemara, Haitzi lan truma mitoch beisai, if a non-Jew brought out truma, the Gemara is not just going to say the same thing over and over again three times. The main thing you got to get out of this is that there's a machlokes Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. They're going to have the machlokes three times, and it's just the Gemara is just going to be repeating itself, changing the case, but it's all basically the same idea, which is that the guy is coming out and giving truma to a kohen, and we have to decide how we're going to treat this. So, Rebbe says, Noagim bob tevel utruma. He erases the word gedola. Okay, I think that's what it's referring to. We treat it like truma and tevel, kind of like at the same time, because it might be truma. It's a suffix. It might be tevel, meaning it might be that the nochri was not successful. And we're going to see in a second why. I'm going to jump the gun. I'm going to tell you. He's choshesh that the goy was mafresh mi min al she'ino mino. So he's afraid that the nochri wants to give truma, but he doesn't know the halachas. So he takes the truma on of wheat on barley, so it's totally not chal, and he didn't accomplish anything. So it's mamash tevel. But it could be he did it right. We don't know. So when he gives us truma and it's in wheat form, we don't know. Is this truma? Might be. Or it might be tevel. So we have a suffix. We have to be mafer shumakam acher, obviously, to be masakin it in order to take off all doubt. That's Rebbe's
shoot. Why can't we give it to a coin?
It might be tevel. The coin can't eat tevel.
No.
So it's not going to help. So, nogim tevel u'truma. You have to be knowing both ways. That's Rabbi Shita. No, we're not worried about that. The guy knows what he's doing. It's definitely good truma. Next case. Again, the same issue. Nogim b'tevel u'kamaisarishin. That we have a suffix. Is it maisarishin or is it tevel? David Rabbi, that's his shita. You don't have to worry about that. He did the maisa correctly. Ela truma vavad. The only thing you have to remove from it is truma. Why do you have to worry about truma? So this was the halach I was looking at that when you first logged in. You may have seen me looking at a Rambam. The Rambam brings down over here. This is a rule you should be aware of. I wasn't so clear on it. Eric Dalid.
He doesn't mean Truma's Maisa.
Where's the din of? I'm sorry, this isn't the right place. The din of being makdim one to the other. That's where I was looking before. The din of being makdim. Hold on a second. Let me go back to that mar mokum. I wanted to read you this Rambam. Perek Gimel. Chaf Gimel. Hold on a second. That must be there. Chaf Gimel. Yeah. Yeah, there's a... So in Perek Gimel, Chaf Gimel, or the Rambam, I just want to read you this Rambam real quick, because it's the key to understanding the whole Gemara over here. The Rambam says you've got to take off things in the right order. Ketzad, Mashar Bikurim Tchila L'Kol. First you do Bikurim, and then you do Truma Gadol, then you do Maaser Rishon, then you do Maaser Sheni, or Maaser Ani, and a person who's Makdim Sheni to Rishon, or Maaser to Truma, or Truma to Bikurim, even though he's over on a Loisasei, Masha also asoi, it is good. Masha also asoi. Now, Reb Chaim says, Knievsky in his Peirushim on the bottom of the Rambam, so he says...
The Rambam doesn't say that he's over a lot?
Yeah. He says, Beferish, Afal Pisha, Masha also asoi. And then I'll just finish the Rambam. Minayin shu oivav loisaseishin emav leyatsu dimach loisa acher. Loisa acher dover shiroi lahak dimoi. They ain't like an alavza. You don't get malchus. Okay. Now, the Reb Chaim says in the Perush the following. Masha also asi. So let's say you did maiserishin before truma. So it's done. So he says like this. Mikom makom tzarech lesakein es haperus ha'elu shefrishon. You still have to fix these peros. So if I took Meiser before Truma, right? So, Im Hayuloi Kof Peros. He had 100, right? 100 fruit. The Hikta Meiser Isha. So he took off 10 fruit before Truma Gedoyla. The Hifresh Eser Meiser Isha. Koha Eser Hinasa Meiser Isha. The whole 10 become Meiser Isha. The Tovol. The Truma Gedola. But that's Tevel as far as Truma Gedola is concerned. It has a Shem Meiser, even though he did it out of order. It's called Meiser, but you have to be Mafresh Truma Gedola on that Meiser. Okay? So you're going to be Mafresh Truma Gedola, And then after that, you'll be mafresh trumas meiser on whatever's left. So that's what the main rule I want to get out of here is that when you are mafresh something out of order, this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel is trying to tell us. That, in other words, the guy apparently when he gives us meiser, it's possible that he took it out of order. So if he took the meiser first before taking Truma Gedoyla, so what I have on my hands here is something which is tovel for Truma. That's what he's saying. That Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer and Sarkal Hafresh, you don't have to take off other meiser because maybe it's tovel. We're not worried about Rebbe's shash that it's Mimin Shein Omino. We're not worried about that. He definitely took wheat from wheat. But we can be worried about maybe it was not out of order. So, and it's talking about hafresh, ella truma bavad, you have to take off the truma to take away, and as you're saying it exactly right, obviously, if we're worried about tevel for truma, it's obviously going to be tevel also for truma's meiser, which anyway you have to take off in any meiser. That goes without saying. Right, okay, so that's the pshat. Any questions? Does that make sense? So, So again, Rebbe's choshesh, she didn't do it right. So maybe it's devil, maybe it's ma'aser sheni. The Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm right. No tzarich lahafresh ela truma u'ma'aser rishon bavad. Again, you're gonna have it's gonna be tovel for what wasn't taken, which is truma. Then you have to take off ma'aser, and then you're gonna have to take off truma's ma'aser. All that has to be taken before ma'aser sheni. Okay. Are you gonna do that mi nei uvei, or are you gonna do it mi makom acher?
If you know how much he actually took, then you can do it from the same pile.
Is what Reb Shimon Gamliel a chash, or it's a daravada? He for sure didn't take. Okay, I guess it's a daravada, no? I'm just wondering if anybody says that.
On the bottom it says Reb Shimon Gamliel is certain that it's Meiser Sheni.
Well, the guy.
But it's a concern, right? However, he is concerned that the non-Jew may not be aware of the tithing sequence and may have removed a later tithe. In other words, we don't know for sure that he didn't do that. It's possible he did it right, right?
Only if you learned it.
So bottom line, since there is concern that the non-Jew inverted the sequence, Reb Shimon Gamliel, the next page, maintains that when the non-Jew identifies the produce as Meiser Rishon, Truma must still be removed since Meiser Rishon may have been designated prior to Truma. So what I'm trying to understand here then is, obviously, if he's mesupuk, I'm just saying this is a pashuta thing. So you can't take the ma'aser mi neuvei because it could be that it has no chiyuv. I mean, is there any downside to that? One second. Yeah, that's correct. In other words, if this already had truma taken from it, so if I designate truma from it, I'm saying hot air. It doesn't mean anything, right? It's Meiser Rishon whose truma was already been taken, and it's not tovel for truma, and so I have no need to take truma at all, right? So yeah, I would have to take it in makom acher in order for it to have any meaning. That wouldn't make sense either, because if I'm taking in makom acher, what am I taking in makom acher? The makom acher, if it's tevel, I don't know whether I've got chiyuv here or ptur. So that can't be right either, right? That won't work. It's got to be minei uvei. Yeah, it's got to be minei uvei, and I might be saying hot air, but it's okay. Hot air is hot air, big deal. So I'll give the kohen something that's really meiser, that I'm calling it truma, but it's not really truma. No. It's It's a little strange, no? Because it's still tovel for Trumas Meiser. So I gave him something which was tovel for Trumas Meiser, but Torah's Truma. So you have to make a Tanai?
No.
Is it true? No. If it's tovel for Trumas Meiser only, this should be Trumas Meiser. And if it's tovel for Truma, then this should be Truma.
You mean as far as you yourself is concerned, not as far as the coin is concerned?
I'm saying. The coin, I mean, I have to decide what I'm going to do with this. Yeah, okay. Okay, so now, so the Gemara says, okay, I don't think I read the Gemara inside. Yeah. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbon, Rabbi Chasha Shema Hifra Shemina Shein Ominoi, Rabbi Shema Gamliel Chasha Shema Hikdim. That's what we just finished saying. Okay. Next. Omer Beis. Ready? Okay. The Mishnah ends. This is the Mishnah had a machlokes, whether it does Trumas HaNochri, does it do the Mua and Chomesh? Tanakama says it does. And Rav Shimon Paitu, he holds its potter. Omer Rav Zeira. Omer is Kumi Rav Avu B'Shem Rav Yechon. Ma Pligin, what's this machlokes? The Trumas Garno, regarding his own Goren, the Truma of produce that grew on his own field, it's specifically there that he exempts the non-Kohen from paying the Chomesh. Of a Goy Shaloka.
We're talking about a Jew's produce now, right?
No.
Or a
Jew's no, field no, no, no. We're going. Talking about a Nochri. Again, Trumas HaNochri Midamas. So what we're saying is. What we're saying
is.
What?
There's a machlokas about a chomish on a guy's stuff.
Yeah, now the Gemara is now going to discuss the exact case. So he's saying that where is their machlokas, whether you're chomish or not, that's if it's the guy's own tvua that grew in his field. But if the guy bought pears from Israel, Avram Shimon might he'll be masking because. Then it's bona fide truma, right? The big footnote here, footnote 2. That what? Let's see.
Yeah. It's bona fide, yeah.
He says, Rabbi Shimon agrees that a non-Jew's designation is recognized. He argues his produce is not liable to truma by Torah law because a non-Jew's acquisition of land in Eretz Yisrael affects the land sanctity. In other words, he holds Yesh King in Nochri, Lahavkia from Tuchus Arch Yisrael. So therefore, it's really biblically exempt from the Trumas. Right? So concerning produce that a non-Jew bought from a Jew, that's subject to Truma Minat Torah. There he's going to agree the non-Jew who eats it's liable to the surcharge of the fifth. He only disagrees in the case where it grew in his own field. In that case, this is the important part. Although produce grown in a goy's field is subject to truma by rabbinic law, right? You're still going to be a dinder abonin, even if you hold yeshkin in la'akam lafkim mikdush sarek Israel, but there's still going to be a dinder abonin to be machayev in truma. But there's a difference. The chachamim kind of like made a little bit of a chiluk, a truma that's only dinder abonin. If you eat a b'shogi, you're not chayev b'chaymish. That's what Rav Shimon held. Okay. The Tanakhama argues, no, it doesn't affect the Kedusha sanctity, and therefore it's Chayiv Ner Torah, and therefore you Chayiv and Chaymesh. Okay, that's what it says. Okay, so that's the, what's his name here? Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira said in front of Rav Avu, where they arguing, Trumas Garnoi, Avu Gai Shalach HaParis Yisrael, Afrim Shem Maida, Amalei, or Amr Ali, and Rabbi Yochanan, I guess, said to me, well, no, it was Rav Avu, I'm sorry, Rav Avu said to me, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he said, that's not right. You're quoting Rabbi Yochanan incorrectly. He machlokas, it's the same machlokas. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it's from a guy, his own backyard, or whether it's bought from a Jew. He holds across the board, it's going to be Pater from Chaimish. The Kasha of Reb Shimon, so I have a difficulty. What's going on over here? Pater Tivlei Dvar Torah. On the one hand, you're telling me that if you take, if the Nochri takes off the Truma, he makes the Tvua ice Tevel and becomes much of the straw to eat it. And on the other hand, you turn around, Va'atam HaTzachein, you're turning around and you're telling me that you're Pater from Chaimish. What sense does that make? Why should it be Pater from Chaimish? That's his kasha. The fact that Reb Shimon argues only concerning the surcharge of the fifth implies he agrees with the Tanakhama that his Truma designation is recognized by Torah law and renders the produce permitted for a Jew. So if it's biblical Truma, why if you eat it, are you not Chayav HaChaimish? That's the kasha. So he answers the following. V'chi kachim eino Torah. What about kachim? In other words, the Gemara is just Karbonis. Let's go to Karbonis. What's the rule by Karbonis? Aren't those Menat Torah and Reb Shimon Pater? He ponders them from certain obligations. And we're going to quote it right now what those are. Tinan Tamon, there's a Mishnah in Zvachim on 45a. It says the following. Kachi Gayim. If you have a Karbonis that were hooked on Shaydei and Akum, that the dinim of pickled oyster on tummy don't apply. And if you do shkrit achutz, you putter also. The very Reb Shimon. For Reb Yaisi Machai. What?
It's not real kachim, basically.
It seems to be it's quasi kachim because you can actually be makar these karbonos on the mizbeach. But nonetheless,
it's not chul bazar.
But it's not shkutei chutz either. So in the same sense, the Gemara wants to say that's why we could have truma, which will actually pater tevel, and will no longer be tevel, be mutar b'achila. But nonetheless, if you eat a b'shagig, you'll be pater from a chaymish. It's unbelievable metzias over here. That's the Gemara says. And the Gemara ends up.
Something from a if a guy is a menat or a carbon, it's pata from all of these things.
That's what it says here.
In eight, the second paragraph in eight, it says because the pasuk says bnei Yisrael, and therefore not from a guy.
Okay. So let's finish off the Gemara. The way he introduces this last couple of lines, he says we're going kind of like back to the Tanakhama. Tanakhama of our Mishnah maintains a non-Jew's Truma is subject to the laws of Meduma and to the surcharge of a fifth. The Gemara clarifies whether both aspects of the Tanakhama are disputed by Reb Shimon. In other words, it said, and if you looked at the language of the Mishnah, as I pointed out, just says Reb Shimon Poiter, but doesn't say what he ponders from. The English on the Mishnah said he ponders from the fifth, but he never said the word fifth. He just said Reb Shimon Poiter. So have a bayin lemeimar ma pligin b'chaimesh? Are they only arguing about the chaimesh? Have a dimua lo, but when it comes to dimua, then there would be no like this. Reb Shimon would be masking that if it gets mixed up, that it would. Asher the Taruvus, unless it's 1 in 100. Ashkach Tani, but later they found the Brisa that says, hi hadah, that they argue about both things. Right? Reb Shimon maintains Truma of a non-Jew is biblically sanctified to a lesser degree than Truma of a Jew is therefore not subject to the surcharge of a fifth. And for the same reason, the strict requirements of 1 in 100 are also not in place, and it is nullified by a simple majority. Now he says this is the Yerushalmi's approach to this Gemara. The Bavli apparently disagrees with both assertions. First of all, Gemara Menachas seems to say that Reb Shimon disagrees only concerning the fifth. he agrees that it does make them more. So that's the first thing, that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The second thing is one Kedushin that says there's no question a non-Jew cannot be an agent to designate Truma for a Jew, since he does not have the capacity to designate Truma.
You can't make him a Shliach
because he's not Batairas Truma. Now, if Reb Shimon holds that a non-Jew makes Truma min ha-Torah, then he should have the capacity to designate Truma. He is Batairas Truma. You can't say he's not Batairas Truma if he has the capacity to create Truma D'Oraisa. Evidently, Bavli holds according to Reb Shimon, it's recognized only min Rabbanan, not D'Oraisa. So we have a major machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi in how to learn Reb Shimon. The Yerushalmi we've just learned holds that Reb Shimon holds it's a din D'Oraisa, but nonetheless, you're putter from Kaimish and it doesn't make the mua because he holds this quasi state of Kedusha, just like by Kochim, you're not chayiv from Pigal Noisim Atomei and you're not chayiv for Shkita Chutz. The same thing is true for Truma. Bavli does not agree. Bavli holds Reb Shimon only argues on the Chaimish, number one, and number two, they hold that it is not a din D'Oraisa, it's a din D'Rabbanan. Hadron Alacha Term Kishas, Hadron Alacha Term Kishas, and so we will end Daf Lamed Beis.
According to the Yerushalmi,
yeah.
According to Reb Shimon, is a guy in the Klal of Shlichas?
If he's Betiris, I think if he is Betiris, it should be good enough. Yes, and therefore he should be able to be a shliach, according to the Yerushalmi. Correct.
Yeah, that's a big kiddush.
Yeah, but we said, yeah, the problem is, we did start the shir off, not the shir, but this mishnah. We started off saying that the first mishnah says very clearly that he cannot be a shliach to be term. That's the first mishnah. Trumas akum afilu bershus is not considered truma, so that doesn't sound like he could be a shliach to me.
Well, maybe Reb Shimon Tatane can argue with the Tana.
Reb Shimon argues with that Tana. It could be. Yeah. Okay, everybody.